The theme of this 32nd Sunday, as I've mentioned, is care for the poor and the importance of feeding them. The first text is from 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 10 to 16, and it's about Elijah, the prophet. And he's leaving because there's a drought, which he predicted in Israel. And so Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. And he called out to her, "Bring me a small cup full of water to drink." She left to get it. That's Semitic hospitality. And he called out after her, "Please, bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There was only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you proposed. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says," that's Adonai, the Lord, and that's his name, Adonai, the Lord, "says, the jar of flour shall not go empty, and the jug of oil shall not run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And so I continue, as I've already said, in 1 Kings. And so we go on now. She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. Now, what is the moral of that story? Why is that the word of God? Why is that told? It's a great story about the miraculous powers of understanding God's plan and announcing it that with which Elijah was gifted. But there's more here. There's generosity. This woman has a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, and she's gathering a few sticks to make a hearth cake. And that's the last time she and her son are going to eat. And this stranger says, "I'm telling you in the name of Adonai, first give me one and then prepare, and I promise you, you will have food until the drought ends." She believes him. And so she prepares it. But as we just read in the text, it goes, it lasts the whole time of the drought. Now, there are so many ways we can look at this text. The text is picked because the gospel text is going to tell us about another widow who gives everything she has into the temple for the poor. Generosity. This woman, in an act of faith, gives away a part of the tiny bit she has to keep herself and her son alive. And the Lord rewards her. You see? This other woman, at least, the Lord commends her to the crowd. She gives of her substance, not just of her surplus, as we're going to see when we get there. So, why is this a gospel? You know, we're taking selections from Mark. Why would we take this selection, which will be the governing passage, of course, this passage in Mark, is one of the governing passages, and it's there just before the Passion narrative. That is chapter 13, when our Lord is talking about the end of Jerusalem and the end of the world, and then we're into the Passion narrative. Well, I guess one reason is, I understand that widow, because she's giving of her very substance, and that's what I plan to do. I'm going to die on the cross in an act of love to save the world. That's the way you got to go. And so, generosity is part of being a Christian, part of being human. They tell a beautiful, Mother Teresa used to tell this beautiful story about a Hindu woman who came to her at night and said, "Have you anything at all, Mother Teresa? I haven't had anything to eat all day, nor has my child." She was carrying a little baby. Mother Teresa said, "Well, I got one bowl of rice. I'll give you that." So the woman took that bowl of rice, went out, divided it in two, and gave the other half to her neighbor, and ate this half. Now, can you imagine when she dies, and Jesus says, "I was a mother with a baby, and you took half of what you had to give to me. Come into my kingdom." Generosity. And the woman, Hindu, said, "I'm a Hindu. I didn't know it was you." "Yes, it was me. Whatever you do for the least of my brethren, you do for me." And so that's the paradigm, is this woman in Jerusalem. And the story which illustrates it is this woman in Canaanite territory. She's not even in the Holy Land, this first woman. So what does it say? You see, as we're going to analyze and pray about when we read the Gospel, it's saying, you see, that the best way to go hungry is to hoard all your goods. The surest way. Well, you say, "Well, what about so-and-so? He's got billions of dollars." Yeah, for a few more years, he'll be well-fed. Then he dies. And how and where is he going to spend eternity? When he neglected Christ, walking past him on the street. "What you did to the least of my brothers, you did to me." And so it's that important. And that's why the psalm says the same thing. I want to read a little bit from the psalm. It's Psalm 146, which, as you know, makes it one of the last psalms. And it's quite a beautiful psalm, and it's about, as I'll quote it in just a moment, see, don't put your trust in princes, you see. Because when they die, they die. They're not going to help you anymore. "I got a friend. He's the mayor. He's the president." Really, he might have a little more money than you do, or a little more clout, but he's flesh and blood like you, and he's going to die. So, the text begins then, "The Lord secures justice for the oppressed." Literally, he makes judgment, Oseh Mishpat, for them, and gives bread to the hungry. You see, the Lord does that. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Remember when Paul says, "Now imitate God as very dear children, and walk in love as Christ did." Imitate the Father. Or, very famous text I've quoted before, in 1 John 3:16, "In this we know the love, that he gave his life for us. So we too should give our lives for one another." Now he gives a concrete example. "Now if a man has enough of this world's goods, and he sees his brother in need, and he closes his heart to him, how can you say the love of God is in that one? Brethren, let us not love with talk and words, but in deed and in truth." Augustine, commenting on that, says, "You see what he's saying? You know, if you're not ready to lay down your life, at least part with a couple of bucks. But help." Generosity. And so this person, you see, who's called a just man, you see. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those that were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. Why loves the just? Because the just imitate him. They care for those in need. So they imitate God. You say, well, I know in such a country, there's a lot of poverty, and I don't see God taking any care of them. What's the answer? You see it. You do it. That's God doing it through you. You can't say, well, let's have a committee, and I'll give a $5 check, and no. It's got to be deeper than that. That's Christ. I remember when somebody was, I'm trying to remember the full story now. Anyway, the story was, it was an incident in my life, but it's only coming to me vaguely, but the key line is coming to him. Somebody was giving something to somebody at the door who needed it. And somebody else said, listen, do you know who that is? I mean, like, he does that all the time. That man is not upright or not honest. He's broke. The other one turned around and said, that man is Christ. You see? So the Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow he sustains. But the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Hallelujah. I don't know why when I said that, thwarting the way of the wicked, I thought of, look where Hitler died, in a bunker with his girlfriend. Look at Mussolini, died, hung upside down from a lamppost. They had power. They abused it. They persecuted, and Hitler killed 10 million Jews. But you see how their life ended? And that's very significant for where they are now. I don't know where they are. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. And so you see, after having this text from the first book of Kings about the generosity of this widow, which prepares us for the gospel, we have a psalm about the generosity of God, of which that widow, the generous widow, is a symbol or an example or a participation. This is very important. Very important. If we're only concerned about our own comfort, our own wealth, we may be comfortable in this life, but surely for a good while in the next, if hopefully not forever, we'll be very uncomfortable. What you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. What you did not do for the least of my brethren, you did not do for me. And so on this Sunday, the whole church is being called out to care. People are frightened with the political upheaval, the wars, and so forth. Who's helping them? Who's helping them to be calm? All right, that's the end.